Thank you, Paul, for calling me and inviting me to come and speak to you all today about God's Word. I thank Paul for reading that there, fourth chapter of James. If you will, turn your Bibles there once again. Paul called me and asked me if there was something he could read, and this was the first thing come to my mind, because that's what come to my mind when about my talk today. The people he's talking about here is disciples that you might say let their armor down from our class this morning. They were no longer wearing that their whole armor of God. And the key to those are a few verses that's read, I believe, lies in that seventh verse. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. They'd let their armor down. They hadn't been following God the way they should. And therefore, James says, submit yourselves to God. Have you ever thought about that, what it means to submit? If you look up the definition for that there in the Greek, is what this was written in, it means to be obedient, to be under, or to yield yourself to. These people that he's writing to here, when Paul opens this here, writing to this here in James, he mentions he's writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. But these are disciples. Those that are following Christ, supposedly. And so I read something like this and I get to thinking, well, they thought they'd submitted to God. And then I get to thinking about what Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So when we read something like this, what do we get out of it? Do we really see what James is trying to bring out here? And I get to thinking about submitting, to be obedient or be under or yielding to somebody. And why is that such a challenging thing to do? Think about that. To be obedient to people or to God. Why is that such a challenging thing to do? I got to thinking about that and I thought, well, the way people look at to be, if you submit to somebody, you're weak. If you submit to somebody, you're a soft type person. The world has taught us all our lives, you need to stand up for yourself. And that's how most people look upon submission. That's why it's such a challenging thing for us. Some people look at it, that's good. People need to submit. But they fail to see it in their own lives, that they need to do it for themselves. They need to submit. Yet when we look at God's Word, submission is the very heart of our service to God and our service to man. Let's look at just a couple of scriptures. First is what was read in a reading here. Submit yourselves to God. We're supposed to be obedient. We're supposed to be under God. We're supposed to yield to what God tells us to do. Ephesians 5 and 21. It says, submit yourselves one to another. Now think about that. Submitting one to another. That there's me and you. Ephesians 5 and 22 and also Colossians 3 and 18 says the same thing. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Be obedient to be under, to yield yourselves. 1 Peter 2 and 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. That's the laws of our land, the ordinances that mankind has set up for man to obey. When we're driving down the road and we see a sign saying you're allowed to go 35 miles an hour, you're allowed to go up to 35 miles an hour. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to go over that. It says submit to every ordinance of man. 1 Peter 5 and 5. Ye younger, submit yourselves to the elders. To be obedient to be in under, to yield yourself. It's at, submitting is at the very heart of our worship to God and what God expects of us. Now we look at what this reading is in James. And like I say, it looked like that they let their armor down. Look at the first couple of verses. From where come wars and fightings among you? Come they not here, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight more, yet ye have not because ye ask not. They was fighting and arguing among themselves. That's the reason James writing that seventh verse, submit yourselves to God. They was more interested in their own pleasures, the things that they could satisfy themselves with. And I get to looking at that there and I get to thinking of myself, really. Am I more interested in my pleasures, in the things that satisfy me? Or am I putting God first in my life? Now think about that for a minute. Submitting to God. And think of our pleasures that we like to do. Are we putting God first? You know, there's a lot of, we have a lot of things in this world. And we're going to be talking just a little bit about our desires here in just a minute. But we all have a lot of desires, a lot of pleasures, a lot of comforts, things that we enjoy doing. But the thing of it is, we need to look at ourselves. Are we truly submitting to God? When we go to thinking about our desires or our wants or our pleasures, let me give you just two or three maybe examples. Remember Eve in the garden? When Satan came and tempted her in the third chapter of Genesis. Remember what he said? God has said, of all the trees you can eat of, except this one you can't eat of. And Satan said, well, go ahead. And she said, No, God said, we'll die if we eat it. He said, you're not surely die, but you'll be like gods. You'll know good and evil. And her desire was to be like God, to know good and evil. So she partook of it. And sin came into the world because of that. Let's take another example. When the children of Israel was going into Canaan land, and Joshua was leading, remember they was going in to capture Jericho. And remember what they were supposed to do? They were supposed to destroy everything, except the silver and gold, which was supposed to have been put in God's treasury. What did Achan do? What, in the 7th chapter, I believe it's the 21st verse, something like that there, he saw a goodly Babylonian garment. He saw some silver and he saw a wedge of gold. So he coveted that and he went and hid it in his tent. Because his desires, his wants, was what he saw. And how many of us is like that? When we see something and we want it bad enough that we're going to take it no matter what. Even though God says, this is what you're supposed to do with it. Again, we have another example of not being submissive. I think of another example. 2 Samuel, 11th chapter. And most of us know what happened there. Remember, David was king, and he went up on his housetop at 9, and he seen Bathsheba bathing. So he inquired of her, and he sent for her, and he brought her in, and took another man's wife. Uriah the Hittite was his name. And by so doing, he ended up having Uriah put to death. Just because he hadn't completely submitted himself to God. The sin of David. Sometimes we see stuff that we want and not our desires there. And we follow after that there. And then I think of the 6th chapter of Matthew. Remember, in that 6th chapter of Matthew, he's talking about don't worry about the things of the world. What you're going to eat or what you're going to be clothed with or what you're going to live in. Remember what he said on down in that 33rd verse? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added to ye. You know, a lot of us get caught up in our lives. Our daily lives. And our desires, those daily worldly things that we have around us. Whether it's our home or whether it's our clothes that we wear. The car that we drive. The possessions that we have is the most important thing to us. And we put all our concern and thoughts into that. Are we truly submitting to God then? Are we seeking Him first or are we seeking the things of the world? Just like what they was doing here in James and what he was writing about. The pleasures of the world. One other thought. Go over to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. In this 23rd chapter, at the very beginning, I'm going to be there for a little bit. We'll be going back to it here in just a few minutes. But Jesus speaking here at the beginning of this here, and he said, Then spoke Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. They say and do not. What can we get out of that? How many of us have friends, we have neighbors, and we say, God is the most important thing to us. We should be worshiping Him. And maybe we come to services on Sunday morning. But where are you on Sunday afternoon or Wednesday evening when the elders want us to get together again? What are we teaching our neighbors and our friends? That God is the most important thing to you? Or maybe the things of the world and later on is not, well, God, it's not that important. We'll do something else this afternoon. We won't go to services on Wednesday night. Because, well, maybe I got to mow my yard, keep it looking good, or do something to my house. Believe me, our neighbors and our friends see that. What are we teaching them? Are we saying and doing not? What did Jesus call the scribes and the Pharisees? He said, hypocrites. Sometimes our desires and our wants and our pleasures get in our way of actually submitting to God. And it's not necessarily what he's talking about here is their desires and their pleasures that got in their way. But they had something else that got in their way. Look, let's go back there, James, the fourth chapter. The sixth verse says, But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. They was a proud type people. Very proud. How proud of people are we? If we just have the scale up here and we had 1 through 10, where would you put yourself? A 2, a 3, a 5, or a 10? Where would you put yourself on that scale? I think we need to look at that there sometimes. How proud are we? Do we think that we're that important? They did. And that there's a reason James writes that they needed to humble themselves. Let's go back to that 23rd chapter of Matthew. I should have told you to keep your finger there. I should have kept my finger there. Again, these scribes and Pharisees is a prime example. When we go talking about pride. Look what he says about, look about the fifth verse. All their works they do to be seen of man. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost place at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue and the greetings in the marketplace and to be called by man, Rabbi, Rabbi. They thought themselves to be very important. They thought they deserved the uppermost seats in the synagogues or wherever they gathered, even at a meal or whatever. They loved to be the prime person, to be seen on the streets and called Rabbi, Rabbi. That was important to them. They thought they was that important. Pride is something that can get into all of us and think that we're important. Let's go over to John, the 13th chapter. In this 13th chapter, here we find when we go to thinking of pride and people that think they're important. I couldn't keep from thinking of this here, of Jesus here. Jesus, in the fifth verse, that says, after he had poured water in a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet. We all know this. This situation that happened here. It was right before his death that he took this here water and he poured water in this here basin and they took a towel and began to wash his disciples' feet. Of course, Peter said, oh, I don't want you washing my feet, Lord, but he said, if I wash you not, then you have no part in me. But verse 12, he says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was seated again, he saith unto them, know you what I have done to you? And the 15th verse, he says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And it's not the washing of feet. Here he is. The very first part of that chapter said, he knew who he was, that he come from God and he's going back to God. He knew he was the Son of God. Now, when we go to thinking how important we are, and we think of Jesus here, the Son of God, taking and doing one of the dirtiest jobs at that time because they walked around in the dust, all they had was sandals. Tuck and wash the disciples' feet. How important was Jesus? You know, the thought just came to me. That didn't change a thing, who Jesus was, did it? He took a towel and he washed their feet. But did that make him less than the Son of God? If we humble ourselves and we help somebody, whether it's digging a ditch or washing a dish or sweeping the floor, does that make us any less a person than who we are? It doesn't. We're still the same person, just like Jesus was still the Son of God. Another thing that we run across when we go to thinking of pride is how smart we are, how clever we are. Now, I'm not putting down education, don't get me wrong. Education is a important thing. We need to do it to make a living for our families. But sometimes we get to thinking that I'm smarter than anybody else. I don't need anybody else thinking. I think of the Athenians in the 17th chapter of Acts. Remember Paul there at Mars Hill, and he's seen all these different signs unto the unknown, and he's seen the one to the unknown God. And he said, this is the one I want to talk to you about. And he began to teach Christ to them. And they listened to him because they was hearing something different. Greeks thought they was the smartest people there was on earth. And he got all the way down until they got to the resurrection, when he got to talking about the resurrection. And then they said, oh no, we're smarter than that. We're too clever to believe something like that. So they quit listening to him. I think that's all the way down about 26th verse, I believe. Sometimes when we get to thinking about our education and how smart we are and how clever we are, that our skill level is a little above everybody else. That gets pride working in us. There's three things I think pride tries to teach us. Pride tells us that we don't need God. Pride also tells us that we don't need other people. We don't need to listen to their ideas. We're smart enough ourselves. And pride absolutely tells us don't be inferior to anybody else. Stand up for yourselves. And what does God say? Submit. Submission, not only when we go to thinking about submitting, it requires a little bit more than just realizing that we have desires and we have our wants and our pleasures. And there's the pride that comes in there. But you know, it takes honesty to submit. In other words, one of the hardest things for a person to do is to look at yourself. To look inside you and examine yourself and say, was my desires wrong? You know, there is good desires. Jesus desired to have the Last Supper with his disciples. Paul desired to depart from this life and go and be with God. There's good desires. We desire to come and be together this morning, partake of the Lord's Supper. Good desires. But there's worldly desires that gets us in trouble. And we need to take the time to look inside ourselves and say, well, are these desires good? Or are they bad? Are they according to God's word or are they not? And that's one of the hardest things for us to do, is to be honest with ourselves. I'm quickly running out of time. Sometimes I get a little long-winded. I'll apologize for that. When we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that we don't have all the answers. When we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that we are sinners. And when we are honest with ourselves, we have to admit that we do have selfish motives sometimes and evil thoughts. Honesty calls us to really take a close look at ourselves. I'm not going to take time to turn there because we're quickly running out of time. To examine ourselves, I want you to think about the 19th chapter of Matthew, where the young man came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. And he started naming several of the commandments. And then he got down and he said, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. The young man had to take time to look within himself and to see that he wasn't complete. He didn't want to get rid of his riches. He didn't want to share with the poor and come and follow Jesus the way he thought he was good. But then at the same time, honesty desires that we completely trust Jesus. And that there, 10th verse of that there, James, the 4th chapter, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We have to trust God that he is going to lift us up. When we completely submit to him, he will lift us up. 1 Peter 5 and 7, I believe it is. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Do you believe that? Do you completely trust Jesus that he will lift you up? That's what God's word says. It was put here for a reason. All we have to do is look at it and read it and know that this scripture is given for instruction in righteousness, how we can be his people. All we have to do is follow it. Now I'll get into the very last part. Come to bring this to a close very quickly. When we go to thinking of submission, what do we have to do to submit? And I'm going to give you just two or three examples. Jesus, when he began his teaching, Mark the 1st chapter, the first thing he said, repent. Repent. John and Peter in the 3rd chapter of Acts, when after they'd healed the lame man, the first thing that they told him, they needed to repent. The 2nd chapter of Acts, when Peter and the apostles stood up and told the world that they had just crucified the Christ. And when they had come to the realization to them that they had truly crucified Jesus, they said, what can we do? Think about that. If you did something bad like that, well, my God, what's going to happen to us now? Remember what Peter said? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Repent means to change your mind. To change your ways. If we're truly going to submit to God, we need to change our ways. And be sure we're following his word like we should. Not be like the brothers that James writes to here, where there's fighting and quarreling, arguing. He brought this out in that there 7th verse. When we're doing stuff like that, that stuff is not from God. You hadn't submitted to God. He said, resist the devil. And in other words, he's placing that where these things actually come from. They're coming from the devil. If you're doing stuff like that, then the devil is the one that's really got a hold of you. And you're doing things to follow his thoughts. Submit to God. So as we bring this to a close this morning, is there anyone here this morning that haven't submitted to God or would like to, for anyone here to help you with any problems or anything, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing a little chosen number.